Welcome to another message from Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center, Kansas. For more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. It is our prayer to invest in generations to influence community. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Steve Raines.
Hey, Life Point Church. Hey, everybody. Glad you're with us this morning and you dialed in and tuned in and joining us. Church at home. It's a little bit different, isn't it? But we're glad that you're here and you're with us this morning. Thanks for doing church online. And so as you saw during the announcements, we've updated our website. Just want to encourage you to go there throughout this morning's service and do the connection card, do the prayer card. We're definitely trying to be as intentional as we can be during this time, connecting with one another. The staff we're making a connection tree. And so the life group leaders, Sunday school leaders, the elders, the staff are going to be so intentional in the coming days, coming weeks, and connecting with us. And so we want us to be knitted together, carrying each other's burdens, going before the throne of grace as much as we can together, and enjoying that opportunity. So praying for you. But let's do church. Let's get in the Word of God this morning. And as you know, we've been in this series in the book of Mark, and I want to invite you to go to Mark chapter 1 with me this morning, and let's dive in. It's an action-packed book, and a lot of movement's going on. There's a lot of, you know, the key word throughout the book is immediately, and it's kind of like this last week, right? This just a lot of changes, a lot of immediate things happening, and so we are learning to flex and flow in life right now, and it's not always fun. But anyway, I was thinking as we get going this morning of a story that I came across. It really just sets the page for what I want to talk to you about this morning. Heard a story of a contractor who had helped build a church, and the church was completed, and the church that still owed the contractor about 10% of what he was needed, and his charges for his construction work. And so they were late in paying. He had talked to them and they hadn't moved on it. And so he decided that, hey, I'm going to go down to the costume shop. I'm going to rent a devil suit and I'm going to go show up and have some fun with these church people. And so he went down, did that. It was a Sunday evening service. He knew where the electrical panel was. It was right off the platform. And so he snuck in that electrical room all dressed up in his devil suit, cut the lights, stepped out, gave a big roar, and the saints in the house went out the back door, man. They just fled the scene like crazy. In the process, this little old lady got ran over. She was laying on the floor, and the contractor went up and stood over her, and she looked up at him in fear, right, and said, "Devil, I've been in this church for 40 years. I've sung in the choir. I've taught Sunday school. I was in the nursery changing diapers, but I was on your side the whole time." I laugh at that. That story just cracks me up, but it brings me to what I want to talk to you about today. In Luke chapter 1, verse 21, look at it with me if you would. It says this, "And then they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and was teaching. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority, not as the scribes. And immediately there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, 'What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God.' But Jesus rebuked him, saying, 'Be silent and come out of him.' And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. And they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, 'What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him.' And at once his fame spread everywhere throughout the surrounding region of Galilee." You look at that passage of Scripture, and I want you to notice something really quick, that passage of Scripture is bracketed with the same word. That should give us an idea what this passage or this section of Scripture is really about. This passage is about authority. Look at it in verse 22. "He taught them as one who had authority, not as the scribes." Verse 27 says that they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? A new teaching with authority?" That authority is explained in that he commands even unclean spirits, and they obey him. This talk about authority kind of brings us to where we are in our culture, really globally today, as we see authority exercised in so many different ways during this season. And I want us to understand who Jesus is this morning. I want us to understand the authority of Jesus. So let's look at this section of the Gospel of Mark this morning. And the first thought I want to give you is just the authority of Jesus. Look at it, verse 21. And they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and was teaching. Remember that most scholars believe that Mark is writing Peter's account of the ministry of Jesus 20 to 30 years later. And it's interesting to me that as Mark is, as Peter is preaching, as Peter is sharing these accounts and Mark is writing them down, that this is the first miracle that Peter mentions. We know that it's not the first miracle that Jesus does. John chapter 4 talks about that and Jesus turning water into wine. But Peter starts here with this demoniac in the synagogue. Jesus comes into the area and has been ministering in the region that Capernaum for about a year now. He'd been preaching in his hometown, and the people in his hometown got angry with him. They rejected him, and Luke chapter 4 tells us about that. But from there, Jesus moved to Capernaum, which will function really as his home office, if you will, for his ministry in that area. And Capernaum was a prominent, populated town. We talked about that last week. It's on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. You can see that on the map that's on the screen right now. But you think about the authority of his teaching, and it marked people. In verses 1, chapter 1, 16 through 20, you see Jesus calling his disciples to follow him. And understand, in following him, they were giving up what we would consider probably what in that day was an upper middle class income. They were successful fishermen. And Jesus had authority to draw people to him, but also repel people. And Capernaum becomes the base of Jesus' Galilean ministry. In verse 21 again, and they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and was teaching. He would have been invited to do so, but people are hearing about his miracles and his message. And so these people of Capernaum in the synagogue were like, here, give him the mic. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority, not as the scribes. He teaches and it blows their mind. It's like he drops the mic in our modern day vernacular on what he has to say. He would have been the greatest speaker who had ever lived, and his message would travel like no other. And what an opportunity that you and I have to live his message in a time like this, and to proclaim his message in a time like this, and offer hope to people that we're coming into contact with from a distance. Anyway, they're amazed at his ability to speak, amazed at the accuracy of his interpretation of the scripture, amazed at the simplicity of it, but the power of it. He does all of that. He does it all with authority. The crowds were alarmed by his teaching. His teaching with authority, the pattern of the day when a scribe would get up to teach the people the word of God, he would quote other rabbis about the interpretation of the scripture, and this rabbi said this rabbi said that, and Jesus doesn't do that. Think about this. Jesus doesn't do that. He says, you have heard it said, but I say. Jesus, with his authority, is saying, this is the heart of God. This is the mind of God on this topic. The people understood that he was a prophet of God and his message was from God. There was no room for debate. I mean, you can see his first message, the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 5 and 6. And Jesus brings this life shift message. He did it to them, and his message does it now. It shifts the course of people's lives. He can do it with your life. And where did he get his authority? Right away, Jesus has opportunity to display that authority. In verse 23, it says, immediately there was in there a synagogue, a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out. Really, today is about when the devil went to church, right? When the demon went to church, and Jesus is teaching, and all of a sudden there's this piercing scream. You can believe it stopped things. You can believe it turned people's attention away. as this demon-possessed man reacts to the presence of the living God in his midst. If you've ever been in a situation, you can be sure everyone's attention turns to that individual. I've been there. I've seen it. This scream is a scream of hatred towards Jesus, but also a cry of absolute fear and terror on behalf of the demon. And as you look at this, it's interesting to note that the demon's response to Jesus' authority and the people's response. The people were amazed, but the demon was terrified. Why is that? Because could it be because the people didn't know who Jesus was, but the demon did? Whenever a person understood who Jesus was, whenever that revelation, whenever that realization would hit them, their response is wonder and brokenness. You think of Peter, the day along the beach, Jesus along the shore, Jesus is teaching. Peter's been fishing all night, didn't have a good night of fishing, didn't catch anything. Jesus says, "Hey, I want to use your boat. Push me out into the water so I can speak to the crowd and they can hear me." The mountainside would serve as an amphitheater, and Jesus does that. He teaches the people, and then he tells Peter to do this. "Hey, get out your nets, throw them on the other side of the boat. You're going to catch some fish, man." And Peter says, "Man, we fished all night. That's not going to happen. I know this lake. I know this region. I know, you know, it's not the time of day to fish." But he does it. And he brings in this huge catch, scripture says. And Peter's response was this: "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man." The people are amazed, but the people didn't understand fully who was in the room. And that leads us to the second thought this morning, and that's the authority of his presence. Verse 24, Jesus says this, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Who's the us in this passage of Scripture? Well, it's the demons. And yes, we know Scripture clearly communicates to us that there are demons. Yes, there is a devil. We're not going to take time to unpack all of that this morning. But when they encountered Jesus, their response was like this encounter. Mark chapter 3, verse 11 tells us of another encounter. "And whenever the unclean spirits saw him, they fell down before him and cried out, 'You are the Son of God.'" Mark chapter 5, verse 6, we read this: "And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him, crying out with a loud voice. And he said, 'What have you to do with me, Jesus, the Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, do not torment me.'" In the first 8 chapters of Mark, it's dealing with who Jesus is. And here in Mark chapter 8, there's this pinnacle moment where Peter makes this confession of faith: "You are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God." And as you make your way through the Gospel of Mark, like we're doing in this series, demons know who he is, but the people don't. The religious leaders don't. Herod doesn't understand. But the demons know exactly who he is. Instantly they know. And they live in terror of him. In fact, James chapter 2, verse 19 tells us this: "You believe that God is one? You do well. Even the demons believe." And their response is, James says, and they shudder. The demons know their final outcome. And they said in Mark chapter 1, "Have you come to destroy us?" They know that there is a finish line, that there is eternal damnation. And the demon is asking, is this that time? Is this the end of the age? Jesus' presence has that kind of authority then, has that kind of authority now. It made me think of a song by Brian and Katie Torwalt entitled "When You Walk Into the Room." And the lyrics go this. I won't sing it to you because I want you to stay on the couch and not mute me. But the lyrics go like this: "When you walk into the room, everything changes. Darkness starts to tremble at the light that you bring. And when you walk into the room, every heart starts burning, and nothing matters more than just to sit here at your feet and worship you." Man, that is powerful lyrics to a song. Jesus' presence has that kind of authority and causes demons to leave. I read this account and I can't help but think of an encounter that I had several years ago at a retreat. It was towards the end of the retreat, people were testifying what God had done in their life over that weekend. And a couple of my friends had gotten up and she had said, look, I really feel like there's some in the room that you haven't had that breakthrough yet. And we want to pray for you. Would you slip up your hand? And so a few people at the retreat slipped up their hand, and Tate and Debbie went down to this young man who had raised his hand and just began to pray for him. And as they were praying, they stopped, and one of them went over to grab Pastor Mike, and Pastor Mike came back over, and right when Pastor Mike put his hands on this guy, there was a scream that went out. And I assure you, every head in that retreat center went and looked over at what was going on. It was a noise that never heard before up to that point. And the young man fell out. They removed him and went and prayed for him. And he was set free. He was delivered from the demons that had lived within him. And he walked out of that back area after they had prayed over him and after he was delivered, and he was like literally glowing. I couldn't take my eyes off of him as he walked back into the room. His countenance was different. That's the power of the presence of Jesus. That's the authority of the presence of Jesus in a place. It can happen in your home, that the presence of Jesus be in your home in such a profound way. We've had people walk into our home. They didn't know we were in the ministry. They didn't know that we were followers of Jesus, but made statements to us as they entered into our home. And it's not like we had big posters that said, you know, making some declaration of our home belongs to Jesus or something like that. But they walked into our home and they're like, man, do you guys follow Jesus? See, that's the presence and the authority of Jesus. And in this moment, in this season that you find yourself in, that we find ourselves in, and everything's a little bit shaky and everything is uncertain in so many different ways, we know we're going to get through it. We know that this is a season, but I want to encourage you. I want to speak into your life this morning. The authority of Jesus is with you. And if you're a follower of Jesus, you have the peace of Jesus with you. There is one final thing I want us to see real quick this morning, and that's the authority of his power. The question becomes, he teaches with authority, but does he have authority? Look at it, verse 25. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, be silent, come out of him. And the unclean spirit, convulsing him, crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. This is authority and power on display. Verse 27 goes on and reads this way. And they were all amazed. So they questioned among themselves, saying, what is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. And at once his fame spread everywhere throughout all the surrounding region of Galilee. As you look at this passage of Scripture this morning, you say, well, Steve, what's that saying for us today? I think it says several things, but the first one is this. Satan and his demons are real. Not trying to freak you out or make you think, oh, there's a demon around every corner or anything like that. But Satan and his demons are real, and so is their impact on lives. I don't think you can deny that. C.S. Lewis said it this way, there are two equal and opposite errors in which our race can fall about the devils. One is to disbelieve in their existence, and we all know people who fall in that camp. And the other is to believe and to feel an excessive and unhealthy interest in them. We probably know people in that camp as well. They themselves are equally pleased by both the errors and the hail of a hail a materialist or a magician with the same delight. Whether you believe or you don't believe in the devil doesn't diminish his workings. There is a devil, and he's at work trying to control and influence those who haven't given their life to Christ. You can read through the epistle of 1 John and see John talking about the influence that Satan has on the world. Look, I'm not advocating fear. But I just want us to be one. I think I would do a disservice as your pastor. Or I know I would. If we weren't aware, and if I didn't warn you about the undertones of the demonic activity in our society, I want you to just simply give it some thought and give it some prayer. Lord, make me sensitive, make me aware of what's going on around me. Again, not to say that there's a demon around every corner or around every bush, or there's a demon in the background, as there was an old rap song back in the 90s about that. That's not it, because God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of what? Of love, power, and a sound mind. So just simply pray, Lord, help me be aware. Help me not to dismiss things. Help me not to be careless with things, because the spirit world is real, and we would do well not to dismiss, or we would do well not to over-sensationalize it as well. But of greater importance, listen to this as we wrap this up this morning, of greater importance is this: Jesus Christ is real, and so is his authority. Man, that is worth shouting about. That is worth being excited about this morning, right in your living room, right as you're gazing on your phone, wherever you are, that Jesus Christ is real and so is his authority. Look at this, and then we'll close. Mark chapter 3, verse 14. And he appointed 12, whom he also named apostles, so that they might be with him and he might send them out to preach. What is Jesus' heart for you? That you might be with him. You may be a follower of Jesus right now. You may be watching this morning and you're a little bit uneasy about everything that's going on. And you're looking at your life and you're like, man, there's a lot of vulnerability. I don't know what tomorrow's gonna hold. I don't know what's the future of my job. But most importantly, we see the value of life right now as this virus is sweeping over the globe. That you realize, wow, there is mortality and there is eternity. And Jesus wants to walk with you. Just as he wanted to walk with those apostles that he was selecting there in Mark chapter 3. During this time when people are nervous and fearful of what's going on and what could go on, listen to me this morning. Jesus wants to be with you. If you're a follower of Jesus, Jesus wants to be with you and empower you and fill you with his peace. He wants to be with your family as you gather today and as you gather next week around your TV or around your computer, wherever you're watching this. And you have church in your home, you have church maybe in your office or in your car. If you have a friend who's with you this morning and maybe isn't a churchgoer, Jesus wants to be with you, friend, as well. He wants to walk with you, not to just calm your fears in this moment, but to give you life, most importantly. Not just life for today, but life for eternity. Look at what he says next. And having authority to cast out demons, be with Jesus, because there is an authority with being with Jesus. Mark chapter 6, verse 7 says, and he called the 12, and he began to send them out two by two, and he gave them authority over unclean spirits. Don't forget the words Jesus said. All authority in heaven and in earth has been given to me. And then he says, what? Go. Go to your neighbors. Go to those who need help during this season. Go to one another. If you aren't sure what to do, call us. If you aren't sure, man, I want to go, but I'm a little bit nervous to go, perhaps. Call us. We'll go with you. Paul said this in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God for salvation to everyone. Say it with me. Everyone who believes. There is power in the name of Jesus. Let me just give you three more verses. John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. In Romans chapter 10, verse 13. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Jesus has power to save you. and Jesus has power to keep you. Will you pray with me? Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this moment that we get to gather together in a different way. And Lord, I pray for the LifePoint Church family. I pray for those that are watching online, that we would be people of your word. God, that we would be doers of it and practitioners of it. God, and Lord, that we would meditate on it, and your word would give us peace. Your word would give us perspective in this moment, in this season that we find ourselves in. God, that it would come alive to us. God, it would not just be just ink on a page, but Lord, it would truly be the living, active word of God. And Lord, I pray for each of us as we live in this moment, in this time, and not just now in this crisis moment, but Lord, in the coming days, coming weeks, lest you tarry, God, that we would recognize the authority of your presence. God, where fear would try to grip, we would recognize your authority and we would speak peace in that situation. We would speak life in that situation. We thank you that you're the author and you're the giver of life. And finally, Lord, I just pray that we would see your power manifesting in various ways, Father God. Thank you that you're a supernatural God doing supernatural things. And Lord, just as we prayed earlier during the worship set, that you are an everlasting Father. And so I thank you, God, that we can walk in confidence. I pray for that one right now that may be sitting in that living room or at an office or wherever they're watching this, and they don't know you. They've not made you their Lord and Savior. God, I pray that they would just simply pray a simple prayer like this right now. Father God, I thank you for Jesus, and I thank you for the authority of Jesus. And I repent. I ask for forgiveness for not allowing Jesus to have his proper place in my life. That I ask for forgiveness of my sins, and I ask and I invite Jesus to be my Lord and Savior and to lead and guide me and have proper place of authority in my life like he deserves to, so that I can have life now, but also eternal life in Christ Jesus. I thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love. And I thank you for each one watching right now, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This concludes today's message. We hope you can join us next Sunday for services beginning at 10:30 at LifePoint Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center. To get more information on LifePoint Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. And we hope you can join us next Sunday with Pastor Steve Raines.